It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sosie. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which someday we'll update at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. Will we update the blog first, or will we get our own show Twitter first? Who knows? Stay tuned to the internet.
Yes. We should put out a listener vote. We'll see how that goes. That's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
Yep. We just want to get done with this session and just make the weekend. Hope you guys have a great weekend. And by the way, big changes here at Film Sociology. Those who are longtime listeners, and God, you're very patient if you are, we have an imaginary talk show that I like to have with Film Sociology guest Ingrid Hoffman.
Yep.
We call it Hola with Mateo and Ingrid. And yep. Normally, and of course, our house band would be Kobe Slagle y His Los Band, because we love NBA Spanish.
Yep.
But Kobe, as band leader, has decided to make a change.
Yep, we have a new name. There's no room for David Stern Spanish in this world, so we're
so
going
he's
with,
going full-blown proper
going
Spanish.
With, yes, we're going with Kobe y el Mojo, coming from the marinade for carne asada, naturally.
Yes. He'll be a pollo loco later. Anyway, so yeah, we want to show you our updated on that, so there you are.
Big news.
Big news. Now, as if last week wasn't enough, at the Phoenix rise of the segment, What is Kobe Watching?, which was great to have back on the show. Show's better for it because of it. We have another segment, which we have not done in a while, and it's going to take a good chunk of the last third of the show, and it's worth it. Ladies and gentlemen, not only do we have one, but two patients at the same time for another thrilling adventure of Dr. Sosie, film therapist. And my clients, my patients, are Kobe and Bianca Slagle.
Yep. This is, you know, we had What is Kobe Watching last week? We had Dr. Sosie, film therapist. This is exciting times for the show.
You know what? It's almost 2009 all over again. Next thing we know, we need Gina and Dan talking about what seasonings they put on their popcorn before
See,
they came running down
I still want to do
here.
That. I still want to have a movie snack symposium.
With pie charts and graphs. And laser pointers.
And pie charts.
Pie chart. P-I and P-I-E.
Yes.
So when we, you know what? When we actually make the film sociology trip to the drive-in, we should have pie. Various pies to go with our popcorn. You can bring in your own food. So yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, it's a drive-in.
Although you should go to concession stand. That's where they really make their money. But yeah, I think so. We will come up with a list of pies to eat while we're at the drive-in.
Is that really where they make their money?
I remember going to there was a Dollar Cinema in Wheaton, Illinois.
Okay, so Dollar Cinemas, yeah.
Well, I think cinemas in general, because they don't make any money off the tickets. That goes to the studio.
Okay.
So it's the concessions that the building, the space itself.
Hmm. You would think there would be better options then.
This is why we're not allowed at management meetings. But no, I remember there used to be a Dollar Cinema. This was back in 1995. There was a Dollar Cinema around the block from the coffee shop I used to manage, and they would let me in the movie for free because, you know, buck put a dent in your wallet. But I would bring the bagels and the baked goods at the end of the day, and I would give it to these guys, and then they would. And I remember saying, because we were making this deal, and I won't tell you the name of the theater; it's no longer in existence. But I asked about popcorn, and they went, "Oh, we can't give the popcorn away free. That's where we make our money." Mm. That mad Dollar Cinema money.
Interesting.
So, hey, bagels got me to a lot of movies in the 90s, so thanks for that. Okay. And now I want pie. Now that I've brought it up.
I want to make a key lime pie.
Ooh. I like chocolate silk pie.
I do that, you know.
You're a pie man?
I make key lime pie, yes.
I did a grasshopper pie a while back, and it was very therapeutic.
And see what we're doing right now? We're even bringing back
the food portion of film sociology, yes.
And in a couple months, we'll have the fantasy football portion
of the
show. There
you go.
You know what
it is? It's business as usual. No, it was very therapeutic because with baking, you have to follow the follow the rules as opposed to, you know, I can marinate this dead animal carcass and then grill it, whatever.
I have a question for you off air about that later.
Okay. Sorry, folks. Can't share everything with you. All right. New in theaters today is the latest big money grab for Dwayne Johnson called San Andreas.
Oh, yeah. That looks crazy.
It looks like crazy good, like crazy you might see it, or crazy that Bianca wants to see it or you don't want to see
no,
it.
No, like crazy, like, whoa.
Yeah, he's going to be jumping around CG and doing what he does best. So, and he's working with Paul Giamatti, so good for him on that.
Oh yeah.
Yes, cuz you need like a you know, in the supporting roles, you need like a more credible actor. And that's not a disrespect to Mr. Johnson. He's earned his stripes. But you get to do that. The Blythe Danner dramatic comedy drama I'll See You in My Dreams with Sam Elliott. So yes, Gwyneth Paltrow's mom and the cowboy from Big Lebowski are doing a movie together. That's cool. And The Connection, which apparently it's a film that was inspiration, a film on based on a series of events that was inspiration for The French Connection. But this is so I'm not sure if it's a French version of The French Connection or if it's The French Connection from the French point of view.
If it's French, is it just The Connection?
Right, exactly. But it's Jean Dujardin.
Oh.
Interested. Yeah, hey, it's that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because the last time you saw him was in Wolf of Wall Street, where he was not obnoxious.
Oh, I don't remember him
He was the Swiss banker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who sounded French, mm-hmm. even though it was Swiss. Anyway. Anyway, he's in that as well. But I want to start with the latest film from Cameron Crowe. Are you a Cameron Crowe fan?
I don't know.
we'll go through this in a little bit. It's called Aloha. Guess where it's filmed? Vancouver. No. And it's got a lot of names that we like. Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Danny McBride, John Krasinski, Alec Baldwin. Here's the trailer.
Well, I remember the good times.
There were no good times!
You cost us our prime new partner, a new space command center, all gone because cool guy here, Mr. Sexy Pants, Brian Gilchrist, blew the mission.
You were going to wear this like Flava Flav wears a clock.
You can't let one small meltdown destroy me.
A second chance. Who doesn't want a second chance?
Your old boss wants you back.
It's Hawaii, our old stomping ground.
Aloha. Gilchrist, you're back in the game.
I want to introduce you to your Air Force liaison. She's a fast burner.
A double espresso?
Morning, sir. I'm so jacked for today.
Make that a triple.
The old ex-girlfriend. Pause for the memories.
I don't even remember why we broke up.
Because you're a workaholic who creates work to avoid real work.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on that.
You wrecked everything, and I put my life back together in spite of you.
I will be an invaluable addition to our mission.
I have lone wolfed it all the way. That's who I am.
You're cynical. I get it.
I know what you're doing. You're not going to pick my brains. They're unpickable.
Before it all came apart, there was greatness in this guy.
Did you get the girl?
We work together.
Oh, why don't you just have what you want?
Do you have what you want? How is Woody?
I don't know. Woody doesn't communicate.
The
He doesn't speak.
He said a lot, actually.
What did he say?
Check out my manliness, dude. I've been working out, and I'm a little too handsome to ever see you as a threat, Brian. Good evening.
And he said all that.
Actually, very talkative.
I think that you came back here for a reason. Let's just talk about it before I explode.
About tonight, sir. I had fun.
In any of its many forms, I have found that nothing beats fun.
Your life is going to become very, very complicated.
The future isn't just something that happens. It's a brutal force with a great sense of humor that'll steamroll you if you're not watching.
Oh, by the way, Bill Murray's in this too.
Yep.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Bradley Cooper, as you can tell, he is a former Air Force man who is given a chance at a career redemption, sort of, by being a liaison between the Air Force, the Native Hawaiians over a piece of property, and as opposed to, a piece of property is and having satellites shot over the skies with technology done by a billionaire mogul played by Bill Murray. The natives are not restless, they're nervous because they like to keep the serious stuff about the sky and the earth and trying to keep the sky as pure as possible on their land. So there's battles of, you know, is it Hawaii? Is it the United States? This is sort of addressed, probably not enough for my taste, but...
So you're saying it's flawed?
This film was definitely flawed. Okay, so Kobe, here's what Cameron Crowe's known for. Almost Famous.
Didn't see it.
Jerry Maguire.
Didn't see it.
Really?
Yep.
You're married to Bianca and you haven't seen Jerry Maguire?
I have not.
You will. Elizabethtown.
Nope.
Wow. Say Anything?
Nope.
No. Well, this might be new for you then. Okay. All of these, maybe not so much Almost Famous, but I think of Jerry Maguire and Elizabethtown, and to a certain degree, I believe We Bought a Zoo with Matt Damon. These all have something in common. It's the handsome loser gets a second chance at redemption. In this, Jerry Maguire was a sports agent. With Elizabethtown, it's Orlando Bloom who loses his job. And in this case, it's Bradley Cooper who botched a job when he was with the Air Force and is now trying to get his life back together. So he gets back into Hawaii, and there's his ex, played by Rachel McAdams, who is happily married to John Krasinski. There's also the manic pixie dream girl that we know from Kate Hudson in Almost Famous, and Kirsten Dunst in Elizabethtown, and to a lesser degree, Scarlett Johansson in We Bought a Zoo. And this time it's Emma Stone, who's extra perky as a military fly girl and the liaison for Cooper. And guess what? They don't quite mesh at the beginning of the film.
Are some enemies going to become friends?
And keep them closer. So if you've seen any Cameron Crowe film, you really don't need to see this film. It's a lot of people... Seriously, because he's done the loser, either the loser gets redemption. I'm sorry, handsome loser gets redemption. It's Bradley Cooper, you know. I've seen this story before. Tired of it. And I know there was already a brushback over Elizabethtown almost a decade ago, and hardly anybody saw We Bought a Zoo. And there's really good people in it, and they're playing their parts. And I, without a hint of fire, no passion, no fire. But also no unpredictability whatsoever, and no, it just doesn't do a thing.
I feel like you're channeling Ed Johnson Ott here.
Does he not like it either?
The only thing that makes this one stand out at all is that the characters are a little more annoying than they usually are in these kind of movies.
I've seen this. I've just seen this without any creativity or spark or unpredictability whatsoever. So now I don't mean to believe, but since you have not seen any of these films, Kobe, mm-hmm. you and Fair Sweet Bianca might like Aloha a little bit. Of course,
maybe for the scenery.
Maybe for the, yeah, there are some nice shots of Hawaii, and of course,
it's also an art film.
It's not an art film, and of course, Cameron Crowe, because of who he is able to get a fairly bitchin' soundtrack. You get the Rolling Stones. Oh, that's the other thing. I don't need long dance sequences. There's one with Bill Murray,
really?
And Emma Stone doing a dance to I Can't Go for That by Hall & Oates. And then there's use of Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. Yes, and there is some Hawaiian music. There's already been complaints that there's too many white folks in the movie set in Hawaii, but I don't think that's entirely anyway. But there is an eclectic music soundtrack because Cameron Crowe can do that. But I was Jay Cutler watching this. Don't care.
It's dumb.
It's kind of dumb. I've seen it. I want Cameron Crowe to do something else. And I love Almost Famous. I do. But I've seen these characters. I've seen these scenarios. I've heard the soundtrack. I just don't care.
There you go.
There you go. Now, opening in theaters today, that is actually worth checking out. And you can read Ed's review of this in Nouveau. But it's the French drama called In the Name of My Daughter. And it stars Catherine Deneuve. Have you looked up 1960s Catherine Deneuve?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I saw her in, though.
You personally? I'm not sure. You know what? You might have to check her IMDb, because I saw her a lot as a kid. I don't know if I would start with Belle de Jour with Fair Sweet Bianca. I'm just saying. Umbrellas of Cherbourg.
No.
French musical.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. So, okay. Anyway, Catherine Deneuve plays...
What's all this French stuff?
And they're singing in French? It's crazy. But she plays a woman who runs a struggling casino, has brought in one of her board members is also her daughter, her estranged daughter, who's come back into the fold, sort of. And there is a relationship that's starting to brew between the daughter and a lawyer who works for Deneuve. Actually based on true events that you actually care about. I usually don't care that every other film is inspired by true events or based on a true story. And I don't want to give away a whole lot about this because it is an unlikely triangle between Deneuve, her daughter, and this middle-aged, handsome lawyer. But it does keep you guessing. And I didn't know anything about the story to begin with. But also seeing a woman in power, played by Deneuve, trying to maintain a casino that's not doing well and maintain what's left of her family. And I just like watching Catherine Deneuve act. It's not just watching her, period. Her trying to handle all this at once and it starting to crumble between her fingers is, for me, far more interesting than Aloha. So there.
Yeah,
nothing's popping up?
No, nothing's.
What decade are you in now?
I looked through the whole thing.
I think you and Bianca would like Umbrellas of Cherbourg. I'll have to see if that's down in the library. I'll ask the librarian.
Who's Emma?
Yes, Emma the librarian. Wow. I don't know. I'll have to ask her on that. Anyway, so yeah, that's really about it. So basically, when in doubt, if you want to go see Catherine Deneuve or just go to Mad Max Fury Road, you're in good shape.
Mad Max is still in theaters.
Oh, heck yeah, it's still in theaters. So, Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
Tonight, Friday, May 29th at 7 p.m., IU Cinema, we have Girlhood. And follow that up with the repeat again tomorrow at 3 o'clock. The IMA, we're a week away from the start of their Summer Night series with National Lampoon's Vacation.
The original.
Next Friday, the 5th. And we're also a week away from the return of Keystone Landmark's Midnight Movies, June 5th and 6th. With The Matrix.
The first Matrix.
Yes.
The only one worth really acknowledging.
The first Matrix.
Did you like The Matrix?
Didn't see The Matrix.
Because in 1999, you would have been young.
12.
Yeah, I understand that. That happens. That's fine. How about the drive-in? Do we have what's happening? Or should we take a break? We'll take a break. Here it is, folks.
Cope doesn't have it pulled up.
No. We actually need to take a break and take a breather, and then we'll tell you what's at the drive-in. We have a dead lady we like, and then Dr. Soci, film therapist. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Hanging out with Kobe Slagle. What were we talking about during the break? None of your damn business. So,
you see me on the street, I might tell you about it.
Yeah, I might tell you. If you buy us a drink, maybe we'll tell you, but no, we're not. Okay. So we heard what was going on at the Alma Mater.
Yep.
And we heard what's going to be coming soon at the IMA, as well as Landmark Keystones. And look for us as a group at Landmark Keystone, except the weekends of the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, because I won't be there. I will be on stage at the Richmond Shakespeare Festival in Richmond, Indiana, at Earlham College. You can go to richmondshakes.org for more ticket information. My lovely wife, Mrs. Soci, I know her as Lynn. You hear her voice when it's not Scott Hoax as far as the intro. She's directing Midsummer Night's Dream. I am acting in the tragedy Titus Andronicus. So, but you might see Kobe there. You might see. Here's the thing. Unless you look up Kobe, you're just going to have to listen, Google image Kobe. You might just have to listen for the voice. Because I know if you take Fair Sweet Bianca to a midnight movie, I know at least one time you will go, yeah, Matt said something about this. I'm Matt. This movie's flawed. And then somebody, hey, that's Kobe Slagle. You know who else does that imitation? My daughter.
Your daughter.
Yes, your radio sister. You two have something in common. I'm mad. I'm picky about movies. So anyway, but yes, there will be a midnight movie sighting, I think, of the Film Sociology crew. And, of course, we are still trying to organize a trip to the drive-in. And speaking of the drive-in, Kobe, yep. What is happening at the drive-ins in central Indiana?
At the Tibbs. Screen one, movie one, San Andreas, followed by Mad Max.
Good combination. Well, I've not seen San Andreas, but two action films, that's good. No, it's not like San Andreas and then Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah.
Which has been known to happen. We love odd pairings of drive-in movie double features. This is not one of them. That's
nope.
two big action films.
Yep.
That's good. Okay, the other one?
Screen two, Tomorrowland, followed by The Avengers.
Ooh. Avengers is good. It was very good. Tomorrowland, flawed. And going first, because it's the most recent.
Flawed?
It's flawed.
Screen three, Poltergeist, followed by Seven Fast Seven. Oh, my gosh. That has been out since April 3rd. Yep. Poltergeist,
yes.
Followed by Furious 7.
Interesting. You're not watching half
that
of that.
That thing has been up for nearly 2 months.
It makes a kajillion dollars globally.
Holy
it's
cow.
Making all kinds. Yeah, I know. It's still in theaters, and Dwayne Johnson's next movie is already out.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Good for them. Good for them.
Screen four, Pitch Perfect 2, Hot Pursuit.
Oh, that's apparently the girl screen. Bianca gonna go to that double feature?
No, she doesn't like Sofia Vergara.
That's her problem. She also doesn't get the whole Sofia Vergara thing.
No, she doesn't.
Well, didn't expect her to. That's all right. I'll take care of it.
And at the Skyline,
yes,
a similar lineup to screen one at the Tibbs, except in reverse. And if you can't remember, here it is. Mad Max.
Thank you, Tyler.
Actually, they've got their times flip-flopped here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is weird. Okay, yeah. So San Andreas.
And Mad Max.
Followed by Mad Max. Followed by, I don't know if it's called Flatfoot or if it's called The Knockout Cop.
And this is with Bud Spencer, right?
This is with Bud Spencer.
This is an Italian action film, which means it probably had several different aliases throughout the country. Oh, no, this is a little film history with Uncle Matt.
That's at 1:30 a.m. The poster says, Flatfoot is a one-man demolition squad.
And what is Bud Spencer holding?
My goodness, yeah, he's holding like a big tarpon.
And he's beating people. Yeah. Not a marlin, a tarpon. It's not Billy. Billy the Marlin. I don't know if this practice is still being done today, but back in the old days, in the 70s, when it was?
Different time.
A movie would go from city to, a small film would go from city to city. It wasn't, you just didn't pour it out on 2,000 screens at once. So, it would go to Indianapolis. First off, it would never start in Indianapolis. But it would go to Indianapolis, and it would go to Cleveland, and then Pittsburgh and Philly and so on and so forth. You get the idea of that. So that's why part of the grindhouse appeal was if you had an old print, that's where the scratches and the cuts came, because it's already been through about a dozen cities before it came to yours. Well, if a film didn't do well, especially a foreign picture, they're trying to, get the American market. If it doesn't do well as the first title, you just kind of slap a new title on it and send it back out there and see if anybody notices. And maybe they'll go see it the second time. Mm-hmm. This has happened on many, many occasions.
Well, you didn't see it the first time. Here it is again.
Yeah, Tyler Hansborough probably would have seen both films. Hey, if he was around in the 70s, hey, I think I've seen this. I remember a tarpon. What? And then chest pass to Brother Ben.
Yeah.
So interesting. So yeah, and that's at 1:30 in the morning in at Shelbyville.
Yep.
Cool. All right. We have to. Oh, I'm about ready to sneeze. Sorry. Do we have? Can you get Chris Lloyd's?
I absolutely can.
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this week.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Wow, it's all in the timing. Thank you, Chris Lloyd, because I sneezed while that segment was being played. All right. Actress and comedian Ann Mira passed away earlier this week, May 23rd, age of 85. And you can tell how old...
You hear that, everybody?
No.
Oh, I muted the wrong mic.
So, yeah, they did hear it. Oh, boy. Sorry, guys. And this is the allergies, although I'm sad that Ann Mira is gone. You can tell how old a news writer is with the way they treated her obituary. Because you'll see some that say she was, of course, an actress and a comedian. And half of the comedy team, Stiller and Mira, of course, her husband, Jerry Stiller. And then others that will just list her as Ben Stiller's mother. She's so, so much more than that. And you know who's nodding in agreement with me from the heavens? Rosemary Clooney. You know what I mean. So anyway, I want to share for you one of the things that Stiller and Mira was best known for. They did this on The Tonight Show, and they did this elsewhere. But this was a 1960s comedy routine about computer dating services.
Recently, there's been a lot of talk about computers in the newspapers. They've even managed to date people with the help of computers. So Jerry and I would like you to meet a couple who have been ideally matched by a computer, and they meet for the very first time.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I'm Hershey Horowitz.
I'm Mary Elizabeth Doyle.
Doyle?
Horowitz.
Horowitz. H-O-R-O-W-I-T-Z. Hershey. My friends call me Hesh.
Doyle. D-O-Y-L-E. My friends call me Mary Elizabeth.
Is Doyle your real name?
Sure. Why wouldn't it be my real name?
I don't know. I mean, I was just hoping you...
No, we're Doyles. We're Dempsey's on my mother's side.
Dempsey.
Horowitz.
Schmullowitz on my mother's side. This computer's a very good thing.
Oh, terrific.
I was reading all about it.
Takes all the guesswork out of meeting someone.
Yeah.
Electronics, so you can't make any mistakes.
Raise a glass to you, Mary Elizabeth Doyle. Thank you so much. Now, looking at some of her work, of course, she and her husband had a lot of cameos in Ben Stiller's films. That's very apparent. But she was in films like the original Out of Towners, Lovers and Other Strangers from 1970. The thing that she's really known for is playing Mrs. Sherwood, one of the hard knock teachers in the original film of Fame from 1980. The Long Shot. Oh, she was one of the patients in Awakenings. Of course, she was in Reality Bites, Zoolander. She played a nun in Like Mike. And, of course, she was in Night in the Museum. And her last gig, she was the voice of Winnie in last year's Planes, Fire, and Rescue. So, yeah, that lady. So, thank you, Anne. Love your work. And, yeah, I want to talk about that a little more than what was new on DVD and Blu-ray this week. I don't want people to think we skipped going to the video store. In case you missed it, here it is again. Kobe, did you know there was kind of a mini Lebowski reunion on DVD and Blu-ray this week?
No, I did not.
Yes, there was, because new on DVD and Blu-ray is a very bland fantasy action movie called Seventh Son, about an aging witch hunter played by Jeff Bridges, who takes an apprentice under his wing to go fight the evil, dastardly witch played by the stunning Julianne Moore.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shot in Vancouver.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. Internationally financed. A lot of CG wizardry and marbled mouth, weird British accent from Jeff Bridges. I hope Jeff and Julianne got big checks for this, because it really wasn't anything interesting to watch. Sad to say. We love Jeff Bridges, but after True Grit, look at what he's done since then. He's gotten big time money, I hope, and I know he's a huge advocate as far as food for children and
was
for special
Tron
causes.
After True Grit?
Yes, it was. You know, The Giver, yeah. Giver was flawed. it was because. They kind of dumbed it down so it would try to be like another Hunger Games, and it's not.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is, of course, if it weren't for Hunger Games and the others, then The Giver wouldn't be here if it weren't. Hunger Games wouldn't be here, Divergent wouldn't be here if it weren't for the likes of The Giver.
Right.
It's just a shame that the film version of The Giver came out so late. Mm-hmm. Bad timing. That film should have came out first. So there, wagged my finger at ye. So anyway, that's out there. Also out on DVD and Blu-ray, the thriller The Loft with Carl Urban and James Marsden. You're making a disgusted Kermit face.
I don't remember this.
This is the one about the guys who share an apartment together,
so they can do
guy things, and then a body shows up, and who did it? That's out there. All right, old titles. It's funny, we were talking about the Italian film Flatfoot. We think it's known. Franco Nero, one of our favorite Italian exploitation actors. And, of course, he was he was also Lancelot in the original Camelot. He has not one but two of his old titles on Blu-ray this week. In case you need on Blu-ray, the 1967 Western Man, Pride, Vengeance, which I'm also certain had numerous titles along the way. And then one I remember seeing in the theaters with my brother, I think it's 1981, Enter the Ninja. Franco Nero as a ninja with Sho Kasugi and the lovely Susan George. I think it's from the same producers of Enter the Dragon, but it's not a dragon.
It's a ninja.
A ninja star.
Ninja stars.
Also out on Blu-ray, the Sho Kasugi film Revenge of the Ninja, if you need that.
A lot of ninja-related things going on.
You know what? WFYI and Film Sociology is your home for ninja film information. Who else is going to do it if not us?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Ladies, I guess it has to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, your pledge dollars at work right now. Hey, I need Tommy Wiseau and ninja movie information.
Where am I going to go?
WFYI.
Film Sociology.
Film Sociology, that's right. And the occasional cooking tip. Criterion has put out the Costa Gavras film, The Confession, as well as the Michael Fassbender film. Not Michael Fassbender. The Fassbender film, The Merchant of Four Seasons. And then you can get this on one single Blu-ray. You know you want it. Food of the Gods and Frogs.
Don't know either.
Early 70s, nature destroying the earth film. Food of the Gods is hilarious because it's based on an H.G. Wells story. It has nothing to do with the H.G. Wells story. If I remember right, Ida Lupino, Janet Leigh, DeForest Kelly, and Killer Rabbits. So there's these thing of extreme close-ups of bunnies running through and then like a reaction shot of a human going, yeah, that kind of thing. Frogs, a young, clean-shaven Sam Elliott, Joan Van Ark, and Ray Milland. And I believe their catchphrase was, "Today the pond, tomorrow the world." You can get those on Blu-ray if you want. All right, ladies and gentlemen, now it is time. I have to put on my tweed jacket or my brown corduroy jacket with the elbow pads, get my dad's old pipe, get a tin of Captain Black, never buy it in a bowl, and once again, the return of Dr. Soci, film therapist with Kobe and Bianca Slagle. Welcome to another exciting edition of Dr. Soci, film therapist. I'm very excited. I have both patients at the same time. Kobe, of course, in studio with me. Mm-hmm. Fair sweet Bianca at an undisclosed location. Yes.
No, now, it's okay. I'm off the clock, so it's all right now.
Okay, that's good. Yeah,
we're not doing this in secret. Like,
so there's yes, there's nothing you can do, big brother. Leave her alone.
Right.
Okay, so one of the things, folks, with these two wonderful patients is I've been trying to find films from the 70s that they would be able to enjoy. And apparently recently they had a positive experience with a 70s film and a negative experience with a 70s film. We'll start with the negative because I'm the optimist here. I'm the doctor.
Well, we had a negative experience and then
you had a negative experience with the other one.
So-so experience.
I see. So I want to start with Taxi Driver. Whose wonderful idea was that?
It was mine. Because I've heard Taxi Driver is this wonderful film, and everyone, I don't know everyone, but I've just heard it's a good movie.
There's a lot of hype around it, which I have heard you hype this movie too.
And it was under the critically acclaimed dramas on Netflix with like 4 or 5 stars. So I was like, okay, I've heard a lot about this movie. I know that, what's her face?
Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster is in it and whatnot. So it was just more of like, I'll watch it. I know it's from the 70s, and hey, maybe it'll change my opinion on dirty 70s films, which I know I exaggerate.
No. No.
She admitted it. She admitted it.
Yes. Yeah, so now, Kobe, of course, says that the 70s were?
Different time.
And that's his sweeping brush. Your sweeping brush, Bianca, of course, that everybody is dirty and they don't wash and eventually they're going to die. Well, and since that decade is 40 years ago, you're probably right on that part.
Actually, I did have a discussion with a coworker who's a huge film buff.
Uh-huh.
And so she and I talk about movies that we see and whatnot. So I told her, I said, I watched Taxi Driver and I freaking hated it. And she says, really? Well, you know, like, I love that movie. What don't you like about it? And I said, well, first off, I don't really like movies from the 70s because they all look so dirty. And then she went to explain that it probably, specifically for this film, maybe it was supposed to appear dirty because you're on the streets of New York, and I guess maybe you want to have the perspective of Travis, who views the world as a dirty, rotten place. But she also said that the film, like the actual film at the time, wasn't the best quality.
Okay.
And that might have something to do with it.
Is your friend Pamela Kodak. now, she's...
Pamela Panavision.
Right. Or Fuji. I think you're partially right on that. This is New York City in 1975. It was pre-Giuliani. It was a grungy, dirty city that was going through a lot of turmoil. And it's also, of course, symbolic of America at this time. We're post-Vietnam. We're disillusioned. We're cynical. And I think of Travis as kind of an urban Don Quixote going after windmills. It just so happens that he decides that his windmills are a presidential candidate and Harvey Keitel is a pimp.
You know, but what I questioned about that? I was really confused as to why he went after the presidential candidate, but because I interpreted as him getting back, and I can't remember the girl's name that he was chasing, but that he was trying to get back at her for rejecting him.
That's part of the reason, because he wanted to volunteer so he could be closer to her, and then, of course, when she rejects his actions, he goes off the deep end. When Paul Schrader, who wrote the screenplay, drove a cab for a long time, and there's a line in the film called God's Lonely Man, And it's the isolation of somebody who really was kind of unbalanced to begin with, especially when he came home from the war, and being surrounded by all of the filth and the crime in New York City. Also, his own lifestyle choice is not the strongest in the world, and that just leads to a cocktail of just bad things eventually happening.
Yeah.
So you're right about that. Now, as far as the film stock, I mean, it's 1970s film. I think from a cinematic standpoint, it's a great looking film as far as the rain and smoke and the dirt and him trying to rise above it. That last shootout at the end, I know, is really unpleasant. Hopefully,
it was really long.
It was. It was
the camera pan from outside. Like that was like 3 minutes, and I was like, I get it. We're outside the apartment. People have died.
Well, then you shouldn't watch any Orson Welles films or Brian De Palma pictures because they're longer.
It was like The Room where I'm like, I get it. We're still in San Francisco.
Oh, I don't think Wiseau could ever have a single tracking shot that good. They had to cut a building almost in two to get that shot from the ceiling. So the part is, yeah, I think it shows New York at a specific point in time, but I think there are people still driving taxis symbolically and literally today that are still like that. And it's not the best date film in the world. As I said to Kobe, when you watch a film like that, I'm hoping you watch Bob's Burgers before you go to bed. That's something you don't want to watch and then just go straight to sleep.
Well, that was kind of what we did. And we watched it in the evening, and I was like, oh God, like, what a downer of a film. Like, give me some gummy bears or something to make me happy.
You know, you have my number. You can call the doctor anytime. That's why I'm here. That's why you pay for my insurance. No. So, okay. But do you have any opinion as far as the performances? You can't deny that's a fascinating performance out of De Niro, as well as Jodie Foster. Not too many 12-year-olds can play that role at that time.
Oh, was she 12?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she was like 16, 17. I don't know. There was nothing about her performance that really struck me as anything spectacular. However, I'm not the authority on acting by any means. I did like De Niro, and I mean, he throughout the movie, he slowly gets crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier, and it's kind of cool to watch that, and I guess if there's an aspect of the film that I did like, it was that, just to kind of see his, I don't know if it's a demise, but I don't know, is he supposed to be like a psychopath?
Well, in what sense? I mean, that's also a word we can use with a broad definition. One person's psycho is another person's normal.
That's true.
Kobe, how was it watching this with your lovely wife? Especially since she picked it, and of course, yeah, you're right. I have cheered this film ever since we've known each other.
Yes, I was surprised that she had picked it. She started watching it. I came upstairs. She had this on, Taxi Driver. Oh my gosh, this is a surprise. So sat down, watched it, made it through, and not really a fan.
Not a fan.
Well, you know, I guess what I would say, I'll kind of correct myself. I wouldn't say that. I guess the story is. It's a cool storyline, but I guess I'm not really into, I don't even know what you would characterize that movie as, but I'm just not into movies where it's like on this dirty streets of a city and then there's pimps and there's hoes and there's people who want to kill each other. And it's almost, I mean, it's not a mob movie, but I'm not really into mob movies, and that's why part of me didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was going to be about that.
Ah.
I just kind of thought, it's this dude who drives a cab, and he meets a hooker, maybe tries to help her, and that's it.
And then cab things happen.
Cab things happen.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah.
You have my number if you need to consult me. It's 24/7/36. That's what that's a doctor's right, just attend to his patients. Now, I've talked with Kobe, and I want to verify this with you. This is, I believe, your second. Now, you've seen Goodfellas?
No.
Okay, so this is probably your second Scorsese film, along with Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
I
hated, too.
Yes, we know. It's obnoxious. yeah, we've talked about that at great length. So Dr. Soce is going to prescribe 3 Martin Scorsese films that I think you will like. The first one is Hugo.
I have seen Hugo.
Ah, well, then you have one prescription taken care of.
Okay.
So, yeah,
and
he
liked
did that.
And I Hugo. I thought Hugo was really cute.
And, yes, and he followed that up with The Wolf of Wall Street. That shows the versatility of a director, I think. The other one is called Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore from 1974. It's set in the Southwest, so it's not... It's desert dirty, not downtown New York's dirty.
Yeah, that's a different type of dirty.
And it's with Ellen Burstyn, who won Best Actress that year. And it's this was the film that was later spawned into a TV show, a sitcom called Alice, which really you don't need to watch. But it's Ellen Burstyn, Harvey Keitel, Kris Kristofferson. And it's a woman who is reimagining her life, going from being a widow to a waitress.
Okay.
So that's there. And then the other one I'm going to recommend for you is The Age of Innocence from 1993. It's Scorsese making a film based on an Edith Wharton novel with Daniel Day-Lewis, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Winona Ryder.
Oh, you know what? I have seen that one on the shelf.
Well, there you go.
All right.
And then you're going to have to let Kobe pick the next film after watching The Age of Innocence because it's right up his alley. It's right up his wheel.
So. You know what was right up his alley is American Horror Story, which he refused to watch with me last night.
Nope. No.
Well, we're well aware of this. That's we try.
But it scared me too.
So you watch more scary movies than Kobe?
I do. Only I'm just kind of curious about what it is. Well, American Horror Story, I've heard another. It's a great TV show. So I started watching it last night, and I think I need to watch it during the day.
You're like Emma.
Not at night. During the day will be okay.
Yep, she does that too. So there's nothing wrong with that. All right, I want to shift gears a little bit because the other thing, folks, for those who don't follow us on Facebook, and you should, I've been trying to find films from the 70s that have some sense of grooming that are not period piece films, as I noticed. I sent Bianca a list, and I kept going, wow, these are all period piece films from the 70s. But you actually did wind up watching Annie Hall, which was another landmark film for me growing up. What made you pick Annie Hall, and what did you think?
I picked Annie Hall because it was the first thing I found on Netflix. Because I was sitting on the couch when I read your message, and I was like, oh, I think I've seen Annie Hall on Netflix. So that was the most convenient, and that's why I picked it. I've seen it on there and have wanted to watch it. And then when I read the synopsis on it, I saw it was like a rom-com. So I was like, I'll probably like this. I thought it was a really cute story. I liked how personal it got. Like, I kind of like movies that interact with the audience. Where they'll be in the middle of a scene and someone kind of walks away and comes to the camera and it's like they're talking to you.
Oh, that's Woody Allen, all right.
I like that. I thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously doesn't end how I expected. And it's, I don't know, it's not a typical romance. It's just a quirky little love story. And I think Alvy's humor is hilarious. I don't remember, like, the specific ones, but it's kind of like he's, like, there's a lot of dry humor where he'll just kind of make a snide comment, and it's just, I would just find myself laughing.
When Lynn showed this to Emma, she said, you're going to understand a lot of your dad's sense of humor. So that...
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah,
okay.
I grew up watching Woody Allen as a kid, which explains a lot. Kobe did not grow up watching Woody Allen films, and that shows too. See, I tend to, and I actually haven't said this to you directly, Kobe. I know you of course realize that Mr. Allen thinks he's very clever.
Yes.
But I kind of like the Woody Allen and Dennis Miller school of humor, where you either don't get the reference, or if you do, it's a 500-foot home run out the stadium. Is that fair to say? And probably not your cup of tea, even though you hang out with me.
I don't know. I didn't feel watching it as if I was lost.
Let's just say Kobe likes the humor of Bernie Mac.
Where are you going with that? What?
Now, kids, guys, we're in a nurturing office here.
We're talking about people's humor, and I don't even know who Dennis Miller is, so I can't comment on that.
You have to go YouTube. I'm telling you what, Annie Hall.
Yeah,
some of them. No kidding. I'm kidding.
I do like Bernie Mac though, but with regard to, I didn't feel like the jokes were necessarily lost on me. I just didn't really care.
Okay.
Because to me, it was just, it was a bunch of, let me dazzle you with all these words that I'm going to write and that people are going to recite
yeah,
for the camera.
Yeah, it's kind of dry. Maybe he tries too hard to be witty.
Yeah. And as far as the story, to me, it wasn't a story so much as just a collection of
vignettes.
A day in the life of.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
I'm not saying your point is. I'm like, yes, absolutely right.
Yeah.
It is kind of the rise and fall of a relationship. And there is a little nonlinear as far as when he looks back, or you know, we flash back to him as a young person and flash back to her as being young, or the great split screen where one scene he says that college is great for you and then he cuts to and college is junk.
Yeah.
So we all tend to do that at one time or another when we're single.
Yeah, I did find that I had to kind of watch it closely because the scenes would cut so quickly, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're not there anymore. It's
correct.
Like, oh, we're not at that party anymore. Okay, now it's the next day, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little. It's like, okay, got to keep watching. But my favorite scene was the lobster scene.
Yes, you speak shellfish.
I thought it was cute. I don't know. I liked how, like, when she gave him the lobster, how he just tossed it into the pot. I don't know. That was just hilarious to me.
Besides the fact that, yes, we know that Alvy is, mentally a wonder, and he's made his living working on his talent and his intellect, and he's not a physical person, which is kind of a regular occurrence in Woody Allen films, especially the early ones. But, yeah, the moment with the lobster just kind of, It humanizes everybody, especially the two of them. And that's probably the happiest moment in that relationship is that scene in the kitchen.
Hmm.
There's your dazzling wisdom from the doctor.
Okay, I didn't look at it that way. Thank you, Dr. Sophie.
You're welcome, dear. Now, Kobe, if you hang out with us for a little bit, you also saw the recent version of Far From the Madding Crowd, right, Bianca?
I did. My mother and I went and saw it on Monday.
Kobe, you didn't go?
No, I didn't go.
Okay.
He's not into that.
We know. I was being a smart aleck. I was saying it to him directly, knowing what the answer would be. So had you read or seen any other version of Far From before?
No. I saw a movie poster, and I saw Carrie Mulligan was in it, and she was in Pride and Prejudice. And I was like, oh, it's sometime in the late 1800s. Hey, Mom, this seems like a movie you would really like. So
wait,
let's go together.
Which Pride and Prejudice?
The 2005 version?
That's Keira Knightley.
No, Carrie Mulligan's in it, too. She's Kitty. She's the sister.
I stand corrected. Look at her.
Look
at the big brains on Bianca.
Don't try to talk to me about Pride and Prejudice and Jane Austen.
Yes.
I don't know.
I'm just Mr. Bennett. It's okay. That's fine. Yes, but she's gone. But I thought that her follow-up from Daisy Buchanan to playing this, very cool.
Yeah, I actually watched Gatsby that day, just to kind of get my Carrie Mulligan
double bill. Look at that.
That's right.
So you did you enjoy it?
I did. It wasn't. I did like it. Because I love stories, and I left with a happy feeling, and I always like that, feel good movies. And I initially liked. Is her name Bathsheba? I think in the movie she says her name is Bathsheba with the English accent.
Well, the accents will do that.
Yeah, so Bathsheba. I liked her character. I was like, ooh, she's a strong, independent woman. She doesn't need a man to, like, figure out who she is. And I'm like, that's great.
But she's got three to choose from.
I know, but the dumb thing is it's like you turn down Mr. Oakes, who's a sweet guy. You have Mr. Boldwood there. And then you settle on Troy? Like, what the heck?
Did you yell at the screen?
I don't know when, like, well, again, I haven't read the book, but the movie went very quickly. It was just kind of like, oh, here's this guy you met in the woods. He thinks you're beautiful. Next thing you know, she's marrying him, and it's like, what the hell is going on?
Don't worry, Bianca. It's not book sociology. It's film sociology,
okay.
So it's okay. You're fine.
Okay.
I know you love to do prep before these sessions, but it's really okay. There's no final grade. It's all right. You pass the bar in Dr. Sosie's office. So.
Okay, good. I get nervous about these things. I don't know. She seemed to kind of contradict herself.
As we all do.
I get it. But I don't know what the moral of the story was. You know, you should be in love and not in lust.
Yes.
So, but then I started to feel bad for Troy towards the end because, you know, he was really in love with someone else and she died. Did you see the movie?
I've not seen that version. I saw the 1967 version with Julie Christie, Terrence Stamp, Alan Bates, and Peter Finch.
That's the one you sent me the YouTube link on.
Correct. So if you're in for a longer, more sweeping version of that story, you can check that out.
I probably will.
I don't know if it's on Netflix. Yeah, you and Frank can watch it while Kobe's at B-Dubs watching playoff basketball.
Yeah.
Well, good. I am glad you got to see that one. The plight of being in rehearsal is that my evenings are shot, so I will probably have to rent Far From the Madding Crowd when it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray. But when that comes out, we might have to call you again or even get you to sneak out on Blue Jean Friday.
We'll figure it out one Friday where I will just leave the office early.
There you go. Stand your ground.
Dr. Sophie.
Yeah, just look over Big Brother and go, yeah, I'm leaving. What are you looking at?
What are you going to do about it?
That's right. Now, I'm glad. I think we've had a very, very major breakthrough with this couple here at this
session. I told him your impression of the Avengers last week.
My impression of what?
The Avengers. Yeah.
Just go in the kitchen and bang around a bunch of pots and pans. And that was the movie.
It helps if you have Joss Whedon doing that for you. now, I'm telling you, as a lady and as an action fan, hopefully, you should go check out Mad Max Fury Road.
You know, there was a guy, the trailer I saw for that, I'm assuming it's the bad guy in the movie, he looked really creepy.
Yes, and
that was another, like,
you are correct.
I know, but it was another one of those dirty things where it's like, ew, it's a dirty guy. I don't really want to.
Post-apocalyptic Australia.
Dirty,
what do you expect? It's post-apocalyptic outback. There are no salons open.
You know what? If Kobe wants to see it and take me, that's fine.
Well,
I will go.
Kobe, I think Dr. Soci has your next evening set up.
Okay,
he took me to see the Avengers. That
there
wasn't my choice. That was okay.
We saw the Avengers. We saw Pitch Perfect 2.
That's right. I give Anna Kendrick my best.
I forget what else we've seen recently.
We have to wrap things up for this session, but a couple things. One, Bianca, keep needling Kobe because I still think there should be a film sociology night at the drive-in.
Oh, you know, we just talked about that. There's one in Bloomington.
There, too.
You're talking like seeing a literal movie at the drive-in and talking about it.
Yes, going to the drive-in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, he should tell you. I told him like 2 weeks ago. I was like, hey, after work on a Friday, let's go down to Bloomington to this drive-in theater.
Cool.
Right, and Kobe?
Yes, dear. I'm Kobe. Yes, dear. And yes, you are correct. I shouldn't question.
I'm Matt. My impressions are terrible.
I know. And yes, you are correct about I should never question your casting of Pride and Prejudice. However, to be fair, I was easily distracted by Keira Knightley and Rosamund Pike. So there. Because I am man. Hear me, oink. All right, Bianca, we should let you get back to work and your lunch and then back to work. But I'm really glad to have you two on for another riveting session of Dr. Soci Film Therapist. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go. Good night, 4 Myers. Good night, California.
Bye.